about Ramadan help to people of Gaza and people in Afghanistan, the poor people. Last year we sent 20,000 to Gaza and 20,000 to Afghanistan and 5,000 to Kosovo, which we would like to do the same. You know that Ramadan is the time that we also pay our zakat. So instead of waiting till the end of Ramadan, if you would somehow calculate your zakat and pay at the beginning of Ramadan or any day before, it would help a great deal. So will you do that, please? Yeah. And you must have seen at the door that we sent 1,000 care packages to Bosnia. It's being distributed these days because there was this flood catastrophe there. Para isteme benden, buz gibi soğurum senden diye bir Türk atasözü vardır. There is a Turkish proverb, don't ask money from me that I will be frozen towards you like ice. Yeah. But I don't think that goes for my Ihvan. You realize actually we are again unique in the sense that I used to belong to Gurdjieff Foundation for 8 years, and we had to give them monthly, I don't remember how much, mother will, where is she by the way, whatever, and then every occasion, you know, we had to give them again this much and this much and this much. And you realize we eat here, for instance, you know, and we do all sorts of things there, it's all free. And when one of you loses your job or, you know, needs money, you don't go to your father, you know, or your brother, you know, we have, I mean, we don't pay, we get paid, except the ones who work. The ones who work also pay instead of getting paid. So we are in a, alhamdulillah, good situation. We are becoming like Vatican. We are even owning property now, right? We have got 2 cottages and a house. We may have another house soon, which we rent. Not like Vatican. No, no. Soon I'll dress like the Pope.
I saw on the paper today, or maybe it was Yahoo, on the, that the head of the Pope and the head of the Orthodox Church both agreed that priests should be married. Not that he'd made a ruling,
really?
But it was discussed publicly.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that really, I think,
would,
you
help,
know, they do also some, they've changed Christianity, you wouldn't even recognize it anymore. You know, and so, I mean, this is a necessity, and this disaster of celibacy, I mean, those monks are not Jesus, astaghfirullah, you know. And
he declared that it's not a principle of religion.
Uh-huh. It is what?
It's not a principle of their religion.
It shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's unheard of. Yeah. You know, I mean, if Allah wanted so, He wouldn't have, you know.
There's a guy named Malcolm Baba, he criticized the Jews all day, and so when they said, and what about Jesus? say, well, he's a Jew. I say, why you criticize a Jew? He said, Jesus. And he never answered why he did it, but he always said Jesus was a Jew. He always said, why you criticize the Jews so much for? He said, well, Jesus was a Jew.
Come again?
He never answered the question. Why he criticizes?
If I can understand the wisdom.
The wisdom is that he didn't want to say why he criticizing the Jews. So they think Jesus was killed by the Jews.
Musevileri eleştiren bir adam var.
Musevileri eleştiren.
Ve Hazreti İsa'yı da mı? Is he criticizing Jesus as well?
No.
Fakat Hazreti İsa'yı eleştirmiyor. Neden Hazreti İsa'yı eleştirmiyorsun? O da Jew diyorlar. And he said that because?
He said Jesus is a Jew. He won't answer the question why he criticizing the Jews. So every time they ask him, he said that Jesus was a Jew.
Her ne zaman neden Musevileri eleştiriyorsun dedikleri zaman cevap olarak çünkü Hazreti İsa da Yahudi diyor bu adam.
Ben anlamadım doğrusu. Sen anladın mı?
Yok, ben de anlasam zaten tercüme edebileceğim.
Well, I think nobody disputes, obviously he was a rabbi, I mean.
And that's why he wouldn't say that, why he criticizing Jews so much. He's from Harlem.
That's why he wouldn't say why he criticizes.
Every time, Jews. Yes. Every time they ask him, he said, well, Jesus was a Jew.
Help us appreciate.
Never mind.
No, he don't want to answer
the one of those two high things which I can't understand.
No, he don't want to answer the question why he criticized Jews so much. But when he said Jesus was a Jew, he meant
first of all, you cannot criticize the Jews. It's anti-Semitic.
But he didn't want to say why he do that. So he always repeating that Jesus was a Jew.
Right. So you got that part. You got that part.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I don't know why he...
We don't know either.
No.
Assalamu alaikum, Baba.
I don't know either.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
Assalamu alaikum. Speaking about forgiveness, that mistake that we make between us and Allah will forgive us. Mistake that we made between us, we have to ask forgiveness in between us. And how asking that question, that someone was making a joke in real life that people made so many bad things to him that the day of judgment that they were saying that would take a day, his case would take probably over a week because people did so bad things to him. Now, it's a real life. From my own experience, that a person who was very successful, very brilliant, very likable by the society, he wind up with a shirk person who messed up his life. So he became like someone who lost his brain. He's like someone who's crazy, someone who doesn't really become like a... It's a real story. To make long story short...
Really?
For him...
I want to ask you a question. Really, in my whole life, I have never met any person who asked a question in such length. What is the reason for it? You think that it becomes more clear, your question, as you make it, or it becomes more complicated and unclear when you make it so long? I'm going to ask you once to precise, to make a long story short, to ask a question with one sentence. I'm curious if you are capable of doing that.
Yes, Baba.
Try it once, I want to hear it. One sentence.
Yes, Baba.
Okay.
Now just make one sentence.
So is your wife behind you there?
Yeah, that's
right. Is she like that at home too? I mean, when he asks you a question, it takes an hour to no? No? Yeah? Poor woman. I mean, how does you ask you, do you have a headache?
And
you get a headache by the time you ask you to have a headache. All right, continue. To make the short story, long story short. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, just what was the question asked at the beginning there. The mistake that we made between us and the mistake we made between Allah.
We were talking about forgiveness.
Did you ask the question? Where is the question mark?
So he was asking about forgiveness.
Right. So you wanted Baba to compare the forgiveness between us and Allah? Huh. Allah'a karşı yaptığımız hatalardan dolayı onun mağfiretine sığınıyoruz. Bir de kendi aramızdaki birbirimize yaptığımız haksızlıklardan dolayı birbirimizin affını da istiyoruz. Arada bir fark var mı diyor. Yani insana karşı yaptığımız.
There is enormous difference between if you do something against Allah, against Allah's orders, and between something which you did to somebody else and you are asking Allah's forgiveness, there is a huge difference. Allah promises that if you truly repent, anything which you did against Him, with the exception of one single fault, that He will forgive you. And that unforgivable sin is running partners to Allah Ta'ala, saying that there are two gods, which is called shirk. While if you steal $100 from me and if you ask Allah Ta'ala to forgive you without getting my forgiveness, forget it. He won't forgive you. You see? I mean, it's much worse. Yeah? Forget me. I mean, if you have a donkey, and if you hit your donkey, you're in trouble. Big trouble. How do you make the donkey forgive you? I mean, you will have to really make him eat and not to ride on him or make him carry heavy things, for the longest time till he smiles at you or something.
Until he
kicks
you.
In fact, the injustice which you do to your wife, for instance, by telling her long question it is much more difficult for Allah Ta'ala to forgive till you get her forgiveness. And in fact, terrible, because it is better that if you take her jewelry and sell it, than breaking her heart. Because the jewelry, you can pay her back, and maybe she'll forgive you. But how do you repair a broken heart? It's very difficult. And if you don't, on the day of Yom Kippur, there is no money. You know, if you stole something from somebody, you cannot pay him back. There is no money there. There is no currency. And so what Allah does is take your good deeds, you know, or gives it to the person who you owe, and then when you are running, run out of it, then he takes his sins and give it to you. Well, I don't know, if you drink, you know, you say you stop drinking and Lord forgive me that, you know, I have drunk so much wine, and I will forgive you. And if you haven't made your salat, you know, and you start doing your salat and you try to make up your what you missed, and he'll forgive you. Yeah. There's a big difference. You did it. See, one sentence. Yeah, easy.
Well, again, on the topic of forgiveness, you know, that last part of this verse that's ascribed to Mevlana, yeah. You know, if you've broken your vow 100 times, come again.
Yeah.
I mean, do you take that literally? In the sense that if
yes,
you...
Yes, I do.
Mm-hmm. That was the question in one
yeah,
sentence.
Yeah. Yeah. In Islam, tawbah is of extreme importance. And in fact, what is most beautiful in our religion, and which doesn't exist in other religions, that if you do something horrible, you ask Allah to forgive you, but you know, really, I mean, you really regret it and you really shed tears and you know, you really try to make up for it. Eh? What happens that the sin which you have committed after having made tawbah, it's transformed into good deed. And the most horrible thing you can think of, yeah? When you truly are able, you know, to make tawbah, it becomes a good deed, as strong as the horror of the guilt, you know, which you feel. Doesn't exist in other religions at all. Yeah. At best, you know, Allah forgives your sin, but it doesn't become a good deed. It's not written as a good deed.
What I worry about is, you know, in that moment where you realize that you've done this and you have that regret and you have and you make that tawbah and it's sincere and you genuinely regret it, but then, you know, you fast forward weeks, months, years, and that occasion arises again and you do it again.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, is that the regret you felt upon the first commission?
It counts. Then when you do it again, tawbah, and it is written again as a good deed. Yeah. In fact, that question was asked, you know, by the Ashab to Rasulullah, you know, and he said, yeah, make tawbah again, and again, and again, and again. But there is something which is called tawbah nasuh. Yeah. Tawbah nasuh is such a repentance that sin which you have done, you cannot do it again. I mean, it's not you. He cut you off. I mean, he doesn't let you anymore to do it. So in short, that if your repentance is truly accepted, you cannot do that thing again. But he doesn't like that, really. You know, he likes you to sin and to ask tawbah again. Because that really is a... Because how often have you cried when you were making your salat? Very seldom. Huh? How often have you cried when you are reading the Quran? How often have you cried when you are fasting during the Ramadan? Huh? But I mean, when you are truly regretting something which you have done, and you are truly ashamed, that you are really crushed, and you cry, and you just feel terrible, I mean, you're horrible. Yeah, but that's the real ibadat. So, I mean, tawbah is real ibadat. Much better than salat or anything else which you could do. In its intensity, you know. And it boils down to self-criticism. I mean, in sociology, it's extremely important. I mean, the communists had a whole program of self-criticism. I mean, the public self-criticism. And you have that in, I think, Alcoholic Anonymous or something, you know. You publicly say, you know, that I'm so horrible, I'm so terrible, and this and that. And in all my du'as, I pray for you, saying that my ikhwan is Ahli Haya. There is nothing more beautiful in a human being who has shame, and there is nothing uglier in a human being of somebody who has no shame. I mean, if you consider yourself undeserving of the things you have been given, that person is a lovely person. I mean, everybody loves that person, because he's thankful, for you do them a little, you smile at them, and they will just die, in thankfulness to you because you've been smiled at. I mean, we all know that, I remember one thing, about Austrians. Has anybody gone to Austria? I mean, they're incredible people, on the street you see people, they really authentically smile at you, they smile at you and guten Tag. My goodness, I would give anything to them. It's such a lovely thing to do. I mean, we know that when we were a young man like you, if a woman smiled at you, didn't you melt? Mother was very serious. She never smiled at me. It's only after we married she smiled. Very serious. She had dark eyeglasses. And you can mistake a shy person and think that he or she is arrogant. But they sort of look down. And you think that they're looking down at you. Human expression. Actually, dogs have that too. Dogs have certain expression on their faces. But the human expression is so incredibly complex and really so... lately, if you notice, in the old days, if you look at the old movies, it was just talk and walk and stuff. But now, if you notice in the new movies, they somehow... look at the faces, and they do incredible things with their faces. They don't have to speak. The new acting is really fantastic. And you can tell if somebody is speaking to you, whether he is really speaking sincerely or he is just lecturing. Just look at his face, you know, and how he's... And I have got photographs lecturing about art history. Blank a mouth opening and closing and sound coming. Did you take the carpets off or not? Okay, I was thinking of making ushaks, but we still can, right?
Sure.
But it's a pity that they have to work. We better start working on ushak, because in Ramadan, mostly we do ushak, right? To make it short. Yeah. I remember when we were, maybe some of you were there that night, when we were in the old dergah. Who remembers the old dergah? Over there, you remember? You were there? Yeah? See, so few of us. And one Ramadan, a Pakistani came, if you remember. Then he wanted to be the imam, and I thought, you know, why not? I mean, a guest, you know, that I put him there, and he started to make prayer with a hatim practically. So we weren't too many anyhow. Maybe we were 10 in all. And at the end, I left. I mean, you know, everybody left, and he was. he kept going. I, Allah said, "Don't make my religion difficult." I mean, if you are fasting the whole day, and you are making long prayers of Taraweeh, okay. So it is our tradition to make the zikrullah, but you know, you don't make 2 hour zikrullah the same day. I mean, you shorten whatever you can. I mean, you cannot obviously shorten the Taraweeh. Yes, you can. You can, you know, in fact, we abandon the first sunnah sometimes. It is sunnah to abandon it every once in a while. So we abandon once, and we don't abandon next day, you know, and we shorten that. And obviously, the zikrullah and usul, you know, I'm shortening them. But some people think that in Ramadan you have to increase it. You spend the whole night praying and the whole day fasting. When do you work?
I had Baba, it was the only one who stayed.
Yeah, at the end, yeah, everybody left. He wasn't looking behind anyhow. So. So he was thinking he was doing a great, great good deed. Yeah.
Is that a secret along the end?
They always do. They always do. With the Pakistanis, that's a sign that you are a Muslim. You know, you have to have a long beard. For instance, he's a Pakistani and Bangladesh. I'm sorry. you don't grow a long beard like that, and you're no good as a Muslim. In fact, there are not too many good Muslims here.
When he comes back from England, he'll have a long beard.
Boris has a long. Yeah, well. Yani niçin sofular bizi sevmiyor? Terbiyesizlik. Hele senin bıyığın da yok, sakalın da yok yani. Ne biçim şey olacaksın sen? Efendinin de yoktur rahmetullahi aleyh.
Elhamdülillah. Yeah.
Regarding Travi, I believe that Rasulullah, he said Tahajjud was eight rakat and three rakat witr.
Ne dedi?
Why we say some people 20 and some 8?
Aslında Peygamber Efendimiz zamanında 8 rekat kılarmış teravihi. Teravihi Peygamber Efendimiz zamanında 8 rekat kılarmış. Biz neden 20 kılıyoruz? Diyor.
This is you're right. This is the sunnah of Hazreti Ömer radıyallahu anh. It was in his time that he did that, and it was in his time he also started decorating the mosques with lights. Mm-hmm. And the Hazreti Ali keremallahu vechu, he appreciated that very much, and he blessed Hazreti Ömer radiyallahu anh to do that. Yeah. At the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were people who, you know, fasted or tried to fast more than he did. There were people who tried to fast to pray more than he did, and he reprimanded them. But then on the other hand, you cannot really condemn somebody, you know, for instance, we repeat Kalimah-i Tawheed thousands of times. You know, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, you know, the dervishes, some of us do that 1,000 times a day, you know. And what you cannot condemn somebody, you know, who remembers Allah, you know, 1,000 times. You know.
Baba, Tahajjud prayer is only 4 rakat after Taluka.
Did you?
Gece yarısından sonra yapılan teheccüd namazı sadece 4 rekat.
Evet. You can even do it twice. No, 2 rekat.
What farz?
2 rakat. For teheccüd, 2 rakat.
I mean, all these, for instance, special prayers which we do in Laylatul Qadr and in Miraj and this and that kind of thing, sometimes he did, sometimes he didn't, Rasulullah. By the way, again, don't forget also to decorate your houses like Christians do on Christmas. I mean, that is more a political statement, that saying that we exist. And the more the houses, Muslim houses, are lighted, I mean, it freaks them out. When the dergah is all you know, decorated, and then they see all of a sudden the house is decorated, it's not Christmas, and but it's good.
The neighbor dog start complaining at night, and the owner went and cut my wire.
They did.
Komşusu ışıkları görünce kabloyu kesmiş makasla.
Really?
Is that true?
Really?
Yeah. There's a Jewish guy across the street.
Didn't he get electrocuted by cutting the something? And he must have had rubber to cut the cable. Yeah. That's not nice. That's not neighborly at all.
You should move from there.
He should move.
You should have taken his door away.
No, the guy who showed my yard.
He's got this fantastic idea about the people who rent houses from him and who doesn't pay the rent. He takes their door away. You know, and then when they complain to the police, he said, I'm repairing their door. You know.
I want to have the judge take you instead. She can't.
I keep telling my wife to do the same thing, but she refuses to do it. You know. I think it's a wonderful idea, Shaggy.
Do it in the winter.
Hmm? In winter, in addition.
Can you throw some light on 15th Shaban? Because some Indian people they celebrate, they keep fasting also, and some people they don't. What is significance in your
Şaban ortasındaki Berat Kandili önde de bir kutlama yapılması doğru mu? Bazıları kutlama yapmıyor.
Evet.
Bazıları yapıyor.
The Saudis, for instance, they don't. We do. Because there are in Efendi's book, in Irshad, there are hadith to the effect that that is the day which Allah Ta'ala and the angels, they decide what is going to happen to you next year. And that on that night, you know, you have to be in prayer and, if possible, fasting and this and that. No, the Saudis, they don't. In fact, I remember once there was this tasbih namaz, or how many, 100 rakats or something?
100, yeah.
Huh?
100.
100 rakats, and it was in the Hajj or Umrah. Was it Hajj or Umrah? Does anybody remember?
It must have been Umrah.
Huh?
It must have been Umrah.
Was it Umrah? But yeah, we were doing 100 rakats of namaz. Of course, it was in time of prayer. And they were so angry. I mean, it is as if we were, taking our pants off or something of the sort. I mean, they were absolutely insulted that, you know, we would be doing this long namaz, you know, that, bidat. For instance, in the Turkish mosques, that we recite three times the Surah Ikhlas, between Sunnah and Fars. Well, that renders them absolutely insane. Maybe more than for the people who don't do their namaz.
Yeah, so I have a slightly different question. You know, in psychology, Freud gave a definition of what an ego is. So my question is, what is it in Sufism? What does the word ego imply?
Neydi?
Freud'un ego ile ilgili bir tanımı var dedi.
Neydi?
Freud'un
evet.
Ego ile ilgili yaptığı bir tanım var psikolojide dedi.
Evet.
Sufizmin egosuyla Freud'un egosu arasında bir fark var mı diyor.
I'm not very, very familiar with Freudian psychology, except that he attributes, you know, everything which happens to us wrong in sexual terms. The Sufis believe there are two organs in between two soft parts of our bodies. One is in between our thighs, and one in between our two soft lips, let's say our tongue and the sexual organ. And indeed, it's true that most of the trouble which human beings suffer is through the misuse of these two organs. So, I mean, in that sense, Mr. Freud was not wrong, but he should have added the tongue to it too. I don't know, does he? Is there any psychiatrist lady with here? No? On the other hand, the difference is that both those organs are given to us as a blessing, in a sense. And like everything which is given to us, even our faith, is a test. My sheikh used to tell me, that including the shaitan lying, that shaitan lying can guide you to paradise, he used to say. Rahmatullah alayh. Sheikh Muzaffar back there in the oval picture there. See that? All you have to do, he says, just do the opposite of what he tells you to do, and you will go to paradise. So there is a responsibility for the human being, because Allah has given us so much honor and so incredibly valuable gifts that we have to prove ourselves worthy in this life, you know, of these gifts of being a human being, of having a mind, of being able to communicate as we are doing now, and of being able to think, to read, to understand, and also of having our little will with which we do our actions. So, and what is the meaning of Islam? Is to submit, right? It's submission. So if you submit your ego, your will to the greater will of Allah Ta'ala, which in every case it happens anyhow, you know, because your will is our will is like we are in a aeroplane, you know, going from birth to the final destination of death, and you can move from the back of the aeroplane to the front, you know, you walk on the aisles, or you can go from the front to the back, but the aeroplane is going wherever it's going, and the extent of the human will is just about that much, but we think that's all and everything. So it really actually is not even an obedience, because whether you obey or not, the end is whatever the end is, and that's what qadar is. Actually, in that sense, we can even tell that all this effort of doing in the name of obeying to Allah Ta'ala or disobeying to Allah Ta'ala is not really exactly decisive whether we are going to be, you know, in paradise. Then it's finally his decision, you know, who he wants to put in paradise or not. How often in the Quran al-Karim it said that he gives it whomever he wills. So you don't take it, it is given. Like when Abu Jahil asked Rasulullah when he came back from Miraj, he said, lift your right foot off the ground, he did, He said, well, now lift your left foot too. He said, yeah, Vajrahil, I cannot because I will fall. And said, well, you who cannot stand this my high from the ground, and you claim that you went to Arsha Allah, you went to visit Allah Ta'ala, you talked 90,000 words with him. He said, but Ya Abu Jahil, he said, I didn't say I went. I said that he brought me. My Shaykh used to give bi'at to all sorts of people. And once because I was friendly with my Shaykh, I asked him, I said, what are you doing? I mean, you know, it's like planting a date tree in North Pole, no? To give somebody bi'at, which you know that person cannot possibly, you know, be a dervish, you know. And he said, you mean that Allah Ta'ala, if he so wills, will not grow a date tree in the North Pole? What do you answer? Yeah? He's right. Yeah? He said, I plant it. No, he makes it grow, he grows it, he doesn't want to grow, he doesn't grow it. But I can put it on the most fertile ground too, the date tree, it may die, I mean, you know. Allah rahmet eylesin. Ya Sefer babacığım, bir gün dedim, ya ne yapıyorsun yani? Bu... Kuzey Kutbu'nda ondan sonra lahana yani dedi Allah isterse olmaz mı diyorsun deyince bitti tabii artık münakaşası yok bunun. Same answer by the way I remember that Muzaffer Efendi a Sufu came and you know according to strictly speaking and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said himself, he said that Allah is unseeable and unknowable. I mean the Quran, Hazreti Musa alayhi salam wanted to see Allah Ta'ala and said you cannot, look at the mountain, I'll show myself the mountain flattened. And but there's a hadith also. Rasulullah said that the ones which Allah Ta'ala wants to show himself, you know, in the hereafter, we will see him as clearly as a full moon, says the hadith. So Effendi said to the Sufu, you know, the hardline Muslim, and said that, well, if Allah Ta'ala wants to show himself, you think he cannot? And that was the end of the conversation. Yatsı oldum, oldum. Saat 10.
Yatsıya bir 10 dakika
10 dakikamız var.
Dört dakikamız. 4-5 dakika var.
Baba, the young doctor, what I introduced you today, she comes to the store regularly, but I never knew she was a doctor. So she said, where I go to the mosque? I said, I come up here.
The lady who just came?
Yeah.
What neymiş?
Dükkana gelirdi diyor. Ne camiye nereye gidersin diye sordu. Ben de Chestnutridge'e giderim deyince o da gelmek istedi. Öylece getirdim.
And he said that he wanted me to introduce her to you. If I come, if I know the Sheikh.
Gelince beni Şeyh'le tanıştırır mısın diye benden rica etti.
Burada mı? Gitti mi? Ha burada.
No, she had to go home back. Her child is very sick.
Çocuğu hasta olduğu için eve gitmek zorunda kalmış.
Neymiş hastalığı?
What's the sickness?
I didn't ask her.
Probably she's got a cold.
Probably. But she's a doctor. She should know. One of the big ones.
And one of her kids goes to karate class here.
Pazar cemaatine geliyormuş çocuklarından bir tanesi Kur'an öğrenmeye.
As when she asked for you to pray for the baby.
Bebeğine dua etmenizi rica etmişti diyor.
A bebek?
Is the baby now? The child is a baby?
Yes.
Hmm. Well, babies do get sick.
But her husband is a doctor also.
Also?
Yes. I think he comes on Friday. I don't know. She's the one who took me that Ponzi scheme last night to the meeting.
What happened to Enver? He left?
He went to pick up his brother-in-law.
What?
He went to the airport.
Kayınbiraderi geliyormuş. Havaalanına gitmiş onu karşılamaya.
Susan isn't here.
No.
Is she all right? Talking about listening. I think the sweetest and the most relaxing sound is silence. And there is just a couple of seconds of silence and you remember the woman? Came and we were in Piedmont who, she had something to do with art and she came and stayed overnight in Piedmont and she couldn't sleep the whole night because it was quiet. She was used to, you know, the cars and this and that and in New York and she just, in the morning she thought, it's terrible. Couldn't sleep. It's so quiet here.
Yeah. Baba, is it true that when you're speaking to someone and they're only watching you and listening, but and they're talking while they're talking, and you finish telling them, they don't know what I told them? I said, because when you open your mouth, your ears close, so you can't listen to what I'm saying. If I tell him to turn right, they turn left.
I just said
they're talking what I'm saying.
There are things which one should listen to and there are things which one should put one's fingers in one's ears and not listen. And in my experience ordinarily, most of the sounds which we hear during the day are not worth to listen to. I mean, that's what I hope I was able to communicate, that to be really very sensitive in what you hear and you register. That's something to be listening to.